Okay, we're starting here at three lines from the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Bet. We continue here to discuss the issue of Chanifa, of flattery, and the negative sides of flattery. And here it says, Va'amar Rabbi Elazar. So we had another memorot from Rabbi Elazar about the negative results of Chanifa. And here's an additional one, which is, Kol Machnif Lechaveiro, anyone who is flattering towards his friend, sof nofel biyado. In the end, he falls into his hands. So really it is a midah keneged midah. If you pretend to have some sort of obsequiousness with this individual and have a servile attitude towards them through your chanifa, then in the end what ends up happening is that you do fall into his hands. And that's really what happens to you. So the chanifa leads to a real subjugation to this individual. Shneimar. Vayomer Yirmiyahu leChananya, Amen. Ken yaseh Hashem, yakeim Hashem et divarecha. So there in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, you have a false prophet that is speaking inside of Yerushalayim during the siege of Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu is predicting the downfall of Yerushalayim, that the Kazdim are going to override Yerushalayim. Meantime, there is a Navi Sheker who is saying that the Kelim that were taken away are all going to come back, and everything's going to be wonderful here in Yerushalayim. And what Yirmiyahu says to him is, Amen, ken yehi ratzon. It should be like you're saying. Now, from the pashtut of the psukim, it seems that Yirmiyahu has no clue whether this guy is a Navi Sheker or a Navi Emet. There's no way for Yirmiyahu to know that unless Hashem speaks to him and tells him that he's a Navi Sheker. Otherwise, just like Hashem could speak to Yirmiyahu, he could be speaking to this individual. And he's telling Yirmiyahu what's going to happen, but he's also telling this individual maybe they'll do tshuva, and maybe the tide will turn. So Yirmiyahu, when he hears him, says, Amen ken yehi ratzon. And you can see that from the way the psukim denote them. It says, Vayomer Yirmiyahu hanavi, El Chananya hanavi, Leinei hakohanim, leinei kol am omdim beit Hashem. So Chananya, in the eyes of the Navi, is termed a Navi. Navi doesn't mean emet or sheker, it just means a Navi, and Yirmiyahu doesn't know. And that's why Yirmiyahu answers him, Amen, ken yehi ratzon. Hashem will appear to Yirmiyahu shortly afterwards and guide him otherwise and tell him that that's not what's going to happen, that there's a problem over here with this nevuah. In a couple of psukim later, Hashem appears to Yirmiyahu and says, you're going to go back and told all the people and Chananya that none of that is going to come true, and rather your predictions of all the death and destruction are what's going to come true to this city. And that Chananya, this Navi, is going to die within the next year, and that's what happens. The way that Gemara is reading it is that Yirmiyahu should have known that it was false, and therefore was Chanifa, because he knew it was false, and yet he still said to him, Amen ken yehi ratzon, or Lu yehi kedvarecha. But again, the Pashtut of Pasuk is that he did not know about this. Then later on in Yirmiyahu, we have, it says, Yirmiyahu miyushalayim nalech adertz binyamim nachalik misham tochayam. Vahihu bishar binyamin visham baal pikidut. So over there he's by the gate of Binyamin. There's a minister or someone who is appointed. Ushmo Yiriyah ben Shelem Ayah ben Chananya. So the grandson, seemingly of the Chananya that we were talking about earlier. But he posts it to Yirmiyahu and Navi Lemor. He grabs Yirmiyahu, or basically accuses Yirmiyahu, saying, Ela kazdim ata nofel. You're going out to the Babylonians, basically to surrender and to give up. And that's why you're by the Shar here, because you're going to surrender, become a turncoat, and leave Yerushalayim. Vayomer Yirmiyahu, Sheker, eneni nofel ala kazdim. Yirmiyahu says, that's false. I'm not going to give myself up to the Kazdim. V'lo shamai lav Yiriyah uchtiv. And then it continues and says, v'yitpos Yiriyah b'Yirmiyahu v'yivyehu el hasarim. This Yiriyah takes hold and basically arrests Yirmiyahu and brings him to the ministers. So you see here that the grandson of Chananya ends up arresting Yirmiyahu in these false accusations, and brings him to be incarcerated based on these false accusations. So the Gemara sees a connection between the Chanifa of Yirmiyahu with regards to Chananya and this arrest by Yiriyah. Again, they both mention Hananiah. It's not clear that they're necessarily related, but the Gemara connects the two individuals and says that that was the Midah Keneged Midah, that Yirmiyahu fell into his grandson's hands because of the fact that he was Machnif, his grandfather. Vamar Rabbi Elazar, Kolei Da'ash Yesh B'Chanufa, any group or sect that has Chanifainet, M'usa K'Nidah, is as reviled or disgusting as a Nidash, Ne'amar, K'Adat Chaneif, Galmud, the group or the multitudes that are Machnif, that are flattering, Galmud will be left bereft. Shekein B'Krachei Yam, Gorim L'Nida, Galmuda. Because overseas, the Nida is known as a Galmuda, my Galmuda. What does that mean, Galmuda? Gmula mibala, as Rashi says, bidula, separated or segregated from her husband. And he's using it based on the shorsh of the word, vayigamel, to wean. When the baby is weaned away from its mother, it's separated from its mother. So to over here, Galmuda is gimula, that she is separated from her husband. And similar, Vamar Rabbi Elazar, Koleida, Sheish Bachanufa, the Sof Gola, any group or sect of people that is Machnif ends up in the Gola. Tivacha, Ki, Adat Chaneif Gamud, so the pasuk that we just quoted from Yov, Uchtivhotam, and then it says in Yishayahu, Vamart Bilvavech, Mi Yalad Liyadele, you'll say to yourself, did I give birth to these? Vani Shikula, Vigamuda, and now I am left without children, I'm left bereft and exiled, visura, and removed. So you see here in the same pasuk, galmuda as well as gola, and therefore he connects between the two, saying that just like the people that are machnif, that are flattering, they end up galmuda, they end up bereft, they also end up bigola, they end up getting exiled. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Baba, Abba Kitot Emikablot Pnei Ashkina. There are four groups that are not accepted or welcomed by the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Katlitzim, those that are clowns or frivolous. Kat Chanifim, those that are flatterers. Kat Shakranim, those that are liars. Vekat Misaprei Lashon Hara, and the people who speak Lashon Hara. Katlitzim Dichdiv, Mashach Yadu Et Lotzitzim, that Hashem pulls his hand back, removes his hand from the lotzitzim, from those that are leitzim. Leitzim can be used in different meanings, but both, whether it means jokers, comic, or lazy, but all of those terminologies put together, people who are not serious about their mission in life. Kat chanifim, dechtiv, kolo lefanav chanif yavo. So the pasuk in Yov says that those that flatter will not be brought before Hashem, will not come before Hashem. Kat shkarim dichtiv dover shkarim lo yikol neneged einai, that someone who speaks falsehoods will find no place opposite my eyes. And kat mersaprei loshon hara dichtiv kilo kel chafetz resha ata, you do not want evil. Hashem, you are a God that is not interested in evil. Lo yigrocha ra, evil will not dwell with you. Tzadik ata Hashem, lo yagur b'mirgurcha ra. Hashem, you are righteous. No evil will live amongst you. And as Rashi notes over here, that this is speaking about Lashon Hara, or Misaprei Lashon Hara, dichtiv b'hu parshata, because in that same parak it says, kein b'fihu nichona, that in his mouth there is not straightforwardness or honesty. He's speaking about other people. He's speaking falsely or negatively about others, and that ra is referring to the misaprei lashon hara. Here it lists four averot that are significant enough that Hashem will not allow them in His presence. So it's not just a violation of an avera, but it has much more serious consequences. And Hashem rejects these four different individuals because He sees their sin or their failure as being something that is so fundamental that He doesn't even allow them in His presence in the Atid Lavo. And the common denominator between these four groups is, first of all, they're all sinning through dibur, through speaking. Number two is that they are doing it in an underhanded or sly way where they think nobody is going to know what they're doing or what the true motives behind their dibur are. And lastly, they behave, as the Rambam says, They do a chait, which seems like it's innocuous, but yet it does tremendous amount of damage, and that damage spirals into bigger and bigger things, which cause tremendous damage to others in the long run. And similar to the Mitzora, who is Yeshev Badad Chutz the Machaneh, he sits alone outside the Machaneh, so too, all of these that share that common denominator, not only is that true B'Olam Hazeh, but also true L'Olam Haba, that they will be Michutz the Machaneh. Right, with that we complete the Perek of Adran Alach, Ilu Ne'marim B'Chol Lashon. Not that the Perek really ends, because the next Prakim are basically the instances in the Mishnah that we didn't get to yet. And so the next Mishnah begins Meshuach Milchama, which within the list of Elu Nemarim B'Lashon HaKodesh, those items that are said in Lashon HaKodesh, it is also mentioned. As Tosfo points out over here, it's not so clear why the Meshuach Milchama is here, because if you look in the list, we had Mikra Bikurim, Chalitza, Brachot and Klalot, Birkat Kohanim, which we dealt with, Birkat Kohen Gadol, and Parshat HaMelech, which we just finished at the end of the parak. Then it says Parshat Egla Rufa, Umeshuach Milchama, those are also there. But in the order of the Mishnah, it would have first been Egla Rufa, and then Meshuach Milchama. Yet, in the order of the Mishnah, oh dear, it does Meshuach Milchama first, and then Egla Rufa. So it's out of order. So Tosfot asks, why is it that it moved it up here? He says that maybe because the Meshuach Milchama is a short parak. It has very finite laws that are associated with it, and therefore it put it together quickly, because it's going to deal with Egla Rufa in the next parak, which has more extensive discussion about it. In the laying it out, it goes by the size of the material or information that it wants to convey, and therefore Meshuach Milchama went first. Others suggest that the reason for the order here is because Meshuach Milchama, or the Parsha of going out to war, precedes Egla Rufa in Parshat Shoftim, and therefore the Gemara follows that order. Why that's not true of the list in the Mishnah is because when it comes to Meshuach Milchama, we'll see that it's much more of a clear drasha that it said in Lashon HaKodesh versus that of Egla Rufa, which is much more circumspect. And the same is true of the dinim. All the dinim of going out to battle in the Meshuach Milchama are all explicit in the Psukim, whereas those dinim of Egla Rufa are much more through drashot. And so for that reason, it brings Meshuach Milchama here first and then Egla Rufa, even though the reverse is true in the Mishnah. So now Meshuach Milchama, B'Shah Shemidaber La'am, B'Lashon HaKodesh Haya Midaber. And when he speaks to the people, he speaks to them B'Lashon HaKodesh. So here is speaking from Parshat Shoftim. In Parshat Shoftim it says, Ki Teitzei L'Milchama Levecha. You're going out to fight a battle against your enemies. V'Reita Sus V'Rechev, Am Rav Mimcha, Lo Tira Mihem. Do not fear them, Ki Hashem L'Kecha Imach, HaMalcham Eretz Mitzrayim, Hashem is with you. When you approach the battle, the Kohen will come forward and speak to the people. You're about to fight with your enemies. Do not become fearful or soft-hearted. So different synonyms for do not become fearful, do not be afraid of the enemy. Because Hashem battles on your behalf to defeat your enemies to bring you salvation. Then we have V'dibru HaShotrim. Then the military police get involved and they speak Al'am Le'mor. Mi'aish Asher Bana Bayit Chadash V'lo Chanocho Yelech V'yashov De'Beito. Who built a house and is it yet to do a Chanukah Tabayit to inaugurate the house? So because you might pass away in the battle, you'll never have a chance to inaugurate or have the Chanukah Tabayit. Who planted a vineyard and hasn't had a chance yet to redeem it on the fourth year? For the same reason. Sheiras isha v'lo lekacha, getting halachically engaged to a woman, but has yet to take her as a full wife. Yelech v'yashov lebeito, pen yamut v'milchama v'yishacher yikachena. V'yasfu ha'shvotim lidaber la'am. And now the shotrim continue to speak to the people. V'amiru, and now they say, mi'ayish hayirei v'rach halevav. person who's scared and of weak heart or faint heart, should go home. So that he won't cause panic to spread amongst the people by his inappropriate behavior in the battle. When they finish to speak, then they assign the captains of the multitudes to the people in order to direct them into the battle. So over here, the Gemara will dissect this. I'm just noting for you, there were three times in the little parshia here where it says, v'diber, or v'dibru, and then v'yasvesh v'tun l'daber. The Gemara will then dissect that and say that there are different people speaking in each of these instances, or it's a different setup and how the speaking is done. So the diber of the Kohen is what we're talking about in terms of the Mashuach Milchama. So the Nigash HaKohen, the Diber Al-Am, that refers to the Mashuach Milchama. So now, when he speaks to the Am, he speaks to them Lashon HaKodesh, HaYamidaber, Shenemar. Because it says there, Vayakikarchem El HaMilchama, V'Nigash HaKohen. The Kohen goes, the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. That refers to the Mashuach Milchama. V'Diber Al-Am. And he speaks to the people, B'Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. So the Gemara will ask, why do you know from Diber Al-Am that he's speaking in Hebrew? It doesn't tell you that it has to be in Hebrew. Where do you get that limud from? Bamar Lehem. And then he says to them, Shema Yisrael, the quotes that we just read from the Parshia, Al Oivechem V'lo Achechem, says that you are going out to battle now, Atem Krevim Ayol Mechema Al Oivechem, on your enemies. Your enemies, and not your brothers. Lo Yudal Shimon, V'lo Shimon Al Binyamin. This is not an inter-Jewish rivalry, or a civil war of sorts, or inter-Shevet battle. Shim tiplubi adam yirachamu aleichem, that if you fall into the hands, they will have mercy on you. And the reason for using these shvatim as examples is not really relevant, because the psukim that they're quoting form a battle between Machut Yehuda and Machut Yisrael, or Yehuda and Ephraim. But rather, they are the shvatim that are still around in the time of Bayit Sheni, in the return of Ezra. These are the shvatim that are there, so that's why they use these shvatim as the examples. Kamash Ne'amar is said by the battle between Yisrael and Yehuda. So in this battle between Pekach ben Remaliahu with the king of Israel, Neged Achaz, the king of Yehuda, they are extremely successful in the battle, the Malchut Yisrael, because Hashem had given over Achaz to Aram and to Yisrael because of their behavior. And their losses in the battle, it says, were Vayarog Pekach ben Remaliahu b'Yehuda 120 aleph b'yom echad. 120,000 troops of Yehuda were killed on a single day. Because they didn't follow the ways of Hashem, that Achaz really took up the practices of the kings of the north in worshiping all the Avodah Zarah and all those terrible things and not following in the ways of Hashem. And then it says, Vayishbu b'nei siyom echechem, matayim elif anashim, banim banot gam shalal rab bazumehem, vayivu et hashalal l'shomrom. V'shamaya navi l'Hashem udeid shemo. V'yitzei lifnei atzava ba l'shomrom, v'yom lehem. Hinei b'chamat Hashem elokei v'techem ayuda nitanam b'yedchem. The reason that you won this battle is because Yehuda was meant to lose the battle. V'tar guvam b'zaf ad l'shamayim yigya. And because Hashem was so angry at them, v'ta b'nei Yehuda b'yishalayim atem omrim l'chbosh l'avadim l'shvachot lechem. And now you want to take these captives as slaves and maidservants? Halo rak atem imachem ha-shamot l'Hashem elokeichem. If you keep them, that is only going to be a sin towards God. V'ata shima'uni, listen to me, v'shivu shivya asher shivitum achechem. Return the captives that you've taken from your brethren. Kichon avshem aleichem, because otherwise Hashem, the anger that he poured out on Yehuda is going to get poured out of you. Then you have a number of psukim, which end with the quote that our Mishnah has now about this civil war, which is, v'yakum anashim asher nikvu b'shemot, v'yachziku b'shivya, v'chol ma'arumehem, hilbishu. So they took care of the captives. And anyone who was naked, they dressed min hashalal, from the booty that they captured. Vayobishum, vayan ilum, they dressed them, they give them shoes, vayachilum, vayashkum, they give them to eat, to drink, vayiskum, and they, sicha, they anoint them with oil. Vayinalum bechamurim, and then they take them on donkeys, the chol kushel, whoever couldn't walk, who was too weak. Vayobiyum yirecho iratmarim, they bring them to Yericho, to live in there, it's lechayim. By their brethren, Vayeshuvu Shomron, and they go back to the Shomron. So there you see the way that the civil war, the people conduct themselves based on Odeda Navid over there, who suggests the behavior of the other party is what caused the victory in the battle, and that they shouldn't so much celebrate the victory, but rather return the captives, because it's their victory in the battle was really caused by the negative attributes of the other side, not their positive attributes over here. That you didn't win, but the other side lost, but you should return the captives. So, alveichem atem ochem. This is a much different type of war. This is a war where you're going up against your enemies. She'im tiplu bi'adam, ein merachmim aleichem. If you fall into their hands, they're not going to have this type of mercy, they're not going to treat you in this way. Ayirach levavchem, al tiru v'altach pezul. So I said before that you have all these synonyms for do not be fearful, which is arach levavchem, al tiru v'altach pezul, v'al tarzu mipneim, you have four different lishonot. Ayirach levavchem mipnei tzahalat susim. Don't worry about the neighing of the horses, b'tzikhtuach, charvot, and the crashing of the swords. Al tiru mipnei hakafat trisim. Don't be fearful of the crashing of the shields that they used to crash together, v'shiv'at hakal gasim, and the flowing in of the troops, or the marching in of the troops. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that this shiv'at hakal gasim is hamadat ha-sharvitim shereshehem akumim, that it's the holding up of these sharp hooks that are part of the weapons of the battle, and they use those to trip up the soldiers and the horses by hitting them around their ankles. Al tachpazu mikol karnot, and don't be afraid of the trumpets. Al tarzu mipnei kol tzvachot, and again, don't be scared of the cries that they're bringing. Basically, the Gemara will say this, it's Midrash Chazal, it's Bar Rashi and the Chumash as well, which is that they use these as methods to intimidate the enemy. All these noises and sounds all makes it intimidate the enemy. So the Torah speaks to each one of these items and says, don't be afraid, don't be fearful, because Hashem is with you. And whatever they come with, which is what Gemara is going to say here, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Aleichem Achem. God is with you. God is fighting your battle. Heim Bayim Minitzchono Shel Basar V'Dam. They come with the victory, human victories. Batem Bayim Minitzchono Shel Makom. And instead you come with the victories of God. Plishtim Bayim Minitzchono Shel Galiat Maya Sofo. So they came with the victory of Goliath as their primary fighter. What was their end? The Sof Nafal Becherev, V'naflu Imo. He fell by the sword, and the rest of the Plishtim fell with him. B'nei Amon Bo Menitzchono Shel Shovech, Maya Sofo. What was his end? The Sof Nafal Becherev, V'naflu Imo. He fell by the sword, and they fell with him. But them, Iatem Cain. That's not your lot in life. Because Hashem, who goes before you, will fight your battles. That is the Aron that accompanies Bnei Yisrael into the battle. So that Aron shows you, or is demonstrating, that the Shekhinah is with you. You're not going to battle alone. You're going to battle with the Aron. Actually, by the case of the Plishtim, the battle with the Plishtim in the time of Eli, in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, you see that even the Plishtim understand that. That Bnei Israel are fighting, and they're having a difficult time, and they're losing. And the next day, the Bnei Eli show up with the Aron, and all of a sudden, the whole place erupts in excitement and in kolot, because they brought the Aron, and basically, they feel that God's now on their side. And the Plishtim themselves are afraid. They see the Aron Hashem coming, and they say, God has come to fight for them. So even the enemy realized that the Aron symbolized this idea that God was on their side. And so that's what it means here. The Aron is on their side. And similarly, that is the pasuk that is quoted when they say the Mishaberach Vetzal. They use this pasuk, which is, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Aleichem Echem Lechem Lechem Loshiatchem. That God is the one who's coming to battle for you. God is the one who's on your side and help you be victorious over your enemies. Now, based topically on what's written in the Psukim here, it's clear that we're talking about a Melchemet Rishut. And that's where the Meshuach Melchama came out, because here you have the exemptions that are given by the Psukim. When it comes to Melchamed Mitzvahs, we'll see there are no such exemptions, and therefore it seemingly there was no Meshuach Melchama in that instance, or you would have to adjust what he said, because what he says in the Psukim is not relevant in a Melchamed Mitzvah. So whether a Meshuach Melchama was a permanent position or a position appointed for each battle is not clear. So the way that the Mishnayot speak about the Meshuach Melchama in other places, it seems like it was a permanent position. The Miri argues that it was an appointed position for each time they went out to battle. Maika Amar. So again, now the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the Mishnah and says, what is the Mishnah telling us? Hachi Kamar, Shenemar Vidiber, It says here, v'diber, that he will speak to the people, the Kohen. Well, halon omer, Moshe yidaber, velukim yanenu bikol. Moshe spoke, and God responded to him. Mal halan b'lishon ha-kodesh, avkam b'lishon ha-kodesh. Just like by Har Sinai, it obviously was done. The whole revelation was done in Hebrew. Then so too over here, it's done in Lashon HaKodesh. So we have a parallel between v'diber, Moshe yidaber, to teach us that there's this gzeirah shava that tells you that Lashon HaKodesh is appropriate here. Right? It's not easy to understand that, because, right, when they're going out to battle, you would have thought, I mentioned this when we learned the Mishnah, that this is one of the items you would have thought didn't belong in this list, because it's one of the items that you would think the people really need to understand, and therefore it would be done in Aramaic or translated to whatever the language the people need, and not done in Lashon HaKodesh. But as we said before, that when it comes to brachot and klalot, or ashrat ha-shchina, that is always done by Lashon HaKodesh. And here we're talking about ashrat ha-shchina in the real sense. When you go out to battle, that God is going out to battle with you, that is ashrat ha-shchina. That's the way the Torah speaks about it. The Torah tells you that when you go out to battle and you're in your machaneh, you cannot make your outhouses in the machaneh. You have to do it outside of the machaneh because HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the shchina, is present in the machaneh. And that's why if you have a sighting of Keri, you also have to become Tahor and not remain in the Machaneh, because it's really literally a Machaneh Shechina. So Tana Banan, v'niyakash ha-kohen v'diber la'am. The Kohen approaches and speaks to the people. Yachol kol Kohen shiyirtze. Doesn't specify what type of Kohen, you would think it's any Kohen. Tamalomar v'dibru ha-shotrim. Later on, as I pointed out to you in that parshia, it says that the shotrim, the military police, speak to them. Ma shotrim b'mimuneh. Shotrim are appointed because they are the deputies of the shoftim, of the judges, af kohen b'mimuneh. So too, when it comes to the kohen, it's someone who is appointed. So just like it says at the beginning of shoftim, shoftim v'shotrim, titen lecha b'chol sherecha, that you will appoint shoftim and shotrim. So you appoint judges and their sheriffs. So there, just like there's an appointment of the shotrim, there's also an appointment of the kohen. Ve'im ha-kohen gadol. You know who's appointed? The kohen gadol is appointed. Why don't you say he's the one who speaks here? Domya de shoter. Ma shoter sheyesh mimuneh al gabav. Just like the shoter is not the top, he is the sheriff to the judge. Of kohen sheyesh mimuneh al gabav. It's got to be a kohen who has some other authority above him. Kohen gadol na me'ika melech al gabav. The kohen gadol has the king above him, as you rightly pointed out yesterday, when it came to the kavod of the melech, when they did the pashat ha-melech, when they did hakel, they passed it from the shamash to the gabai, to the skan kohen gadol, to the kohen gadol, to the melech. That seemed to indicate that the melech was the top authority here. So the kohen gadol has the king that is over him. Vavaroto kamar. It means in his realm. There's nobody higher than him in the avodah. The king might have an higher authority, but within the religious realm, there's nobody above him. Again, yesterday I noted this, that in order to have the separation of powers, you don't want the king being able to dictate what the kohen gadol does. So again, in terms of the political power, the melech trumps. But in terms of religious avodah and religious performance, there's nobody above the kohen gadol. The king does not have a right to tell the kohen gadol what to do. All right, vema skan. So let's say that it's the backup kohen gadol. Skan lav mimunehu. The skan is not appointed, which is a very interesting. It's not that he's not appointed, it's that he never went into service. So his appointment is not meaningful because he is the backup. So until the backup gets engaged, he's not considered to be an appointee. Tetzani amar Rabbi Chanina, skan ha-kohenim, lama skan mimuneh, she'im yirav bo psul b'kohen gadol, nechnas u'mishemesh tachtav. What is the purpose of the skan? The purpose of the skan is that he will come into service if the kohen gadol is not available or can't do the avoda. So the skan is a backup or a relief pitcher. He will not be considered mimuneh until he goes into service. So the skan doesn't have that status of being mimuneh. As Tosfot notes, skan ha-kohen is not a position that's found in the Torah, but rather a rabbinic or kohanic position that was created. And therefore, it has no real status until he comes in to fill in the shoes of the kohen gadol. So even though he has an appointment before that, that appointment is solely an internal appointment of the kohanim, That basically he is in the waiting, he is backup, so when the Kohen Gadol is not available or not able to do the Avodah for whatever reason, is disqualified, he would take over, and that would become a minui that's recognized by the Torah, which is the minui of a Kohen Gadol. And so that leaves us, the Meshuach Milchama, who is someone specifically appointed for this purpose, to lead the troops out to battle, but the religious head that takes them out to battle. V'amar lehem Shema Yisrael. So again, he begins here with the terminology Shema Yisrael means listen or hear, O Israel. Atem grevim ayol milchama lebechem, ayirach lebabchem, v'chule v'chule. So now, when they say Shema Yisrael, Maishna Shema Yisrael, Gemara takes Shema Yisrael very literally, meaning Shema Yisrael Hashem Lokeinu, Hashem Echad. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishir Rabbi Shimba Yochai, Amar Lema Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Afilu Lo Kiyamtem El Kriyat Shema Shachrit Varvit. Even if you just did the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Shachrit Varvit, Iyatem Nimsarim Biyadam. That's enough to save you from your enemies. It's interesting because there is the opposite Midrash Halakha that comes about that people are afraid to go out to battle, which are one of the four categories that goes back from the battle, which is Me'isha Yorei Vayirach Levav. That's even someone who didn't have Kavanah during Shema Yisrael and is afraid should go back. So over there on one side, we see that Shema Yisrael is sufficient grounds for you to win the battle and to be saved. On the other hand, we say that even the smallest mistake in Shema Yisrael is enough grounds to be fearful and to worry about losing the battle. What's interesting here is that the memory here is in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimba Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Yochai said the same memory with regards to Shema Yisrael somewhere else, and that is that Shema Yisrael is a kiyum of Igita bo yomam v'layla, lo yimush haTorah zemi picha, that in order to, the minimum standard of what you need to learn every day is to say Shema in the morning and Shema at night, and you have fulfilled your obligation to learn at least at the minimum level. And it's interesting that it's the Baal Memres, Rabbi Shimba Yochai, whose Torah to munato learned yomam v'layla and left all of the physical world just to learn Torah. Nevertheless, on a practical level, when he speaks to the Am, he says that Shema Yisrael is the Limud Torah. That might be what the reference to here as well is, that if you do Shema in the morning, Shema in the evening, then you've learned Torah, that you've accomplished that minimum threshold of Limud Torah, and Limud Torah will protect the troops when they go out to battle. Ayirach levavchem al teru, al tachbezu, al tarzu mipnehem, Tan Rabbanan. Pamayim midaber imam. The Kohen speaks to them twice. Achat b'safar, v'achat b'milchama. Once on the border, and then once before the battle. B'safar u'ma u'omer. At the border, what does he say to them? Shimu d'vrai marachei milchama v'chazru. He says, listen to me, those that are going out to the battle. And he goes through the list of individuals who are supposed to return or go home. People who no longer should go out to battle because they're either exempt from the battle or they're detrimental to the morale of the troops and they should go back. So even though that's out of order, because if you look in the Psukim, those are only mentioned after what we're about to say, but the Gemara feels that in terms of the order, it makes more sense to clear out the people that are not supposed to go out there at the border rather than speak to them about what they're going to face in the battle. Why are you telling the people who are not going to go out of battle what exactly they're going to face or what they should be thinking in the battle? So then, b'milchama ma'omer, when he reaches the grounds of the battle, what does he say? Ayirach levavchem, al tiru, al tachbezu, al tarzu, keneged arba'a dvarim shovdei kochavim osin. Then that is to offset, or to tell them not to be fearful of the four things that the enemy does, which is megifim, they crash their, whether it's their swords or their shields together, umireim, they blow the trumpets, Tzavachim, they scream, they call out. Virom Sim, and they have the hooves of the horses stomp so that they make all these noises, which is meant to intimidate the enemy, to make them think that there are multitudes on the other side. It's like pep rally going into the milchama, which many times causes fear in the hearts of the enemy. So as the Rashi notes over here, that the tzichtuach harvot v'shifat kalgasim, the crashing of the swords, and the flowing in of the troops, and ikar milchama v'enem le'ayim. That's the main part of the battle, and so even though they were mentioned in the Mishnah, he doesn't mention them here because that's what the battle is about. That is, all these troops that are marching in and their swords are being held up or crashing together, that's the battle. That's the part of the battle that he doesn't have to speak about. Now, plishtim bo menitzchono shel Goliath. So the Plishtim came with the victory of Goliath. Goliath, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, She'amad b'giloi panim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why was he known as Goliath? From the word galoi, that he stood b'chutzpah neged Hashem, she'amar. Vayamod vayikra machut yisrael malayim, lama teitzu laroch melchumal anuchi haplishti, v'atem avadim lesha'ol, bru lachemish, v'yered elai. Im yuchala lehi lachem iti, v'ikani, v'ayti lachem l'avadim, v'imani uchalo, v'ikitiv, v'yitem lanu l'avadim, v'avadem otonu. Bru lachem ish, v'yered elai. So it says, pick somebody to come fight me. Basically what Goliath does is for 40 days, he walks out into the valley, Emek Ha'ilah, which is right here, between the station troops of the Jews and the station troops of the Plishtim. And he walks out every day and says, let's make this an easy battle. It'll be one-on-one. Anybody who wants to can come out and fight me, and that will determine the outcome of the battle. So he goes out each day and says, send someone out. And the Gemara Darshan Zir, Vein Ish, Elo Kodesh Baruch Hu. When he says, pick up someone to fight me, Ish is a term that's used for Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shenemar Hashem Ish Melchama, Hashem Shemo. So there Hashem is known as the Ish, or the Ish Melchama. Mar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ireni Mepilo, Ayad Ben Ish. So Midah Keneged Midah, he goes out and says, pick someone, one man, I'm going to have him be killed by a Ben Ish, the son of an Ish, which both is a Midah Keneged Midah, but also is a slight to Goliath. Goliath thinks he can fight any man. In the meantime, it's some youngster that's going to come out there and kill him. Someone who doesn't even look like he could take on Goliath, and that's David HaMelech. And that's what it says here. Shenemar David ben Ish Ephrati Azeh. He was the son of a man from Ephrat, Ishai. Their family came from Ephrat, and he's the son of a man from Ephrat. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishnah Rabbi Meir. B'shlosha mikonot lachto piv loto rasha. That in three places, Goliath basically sealed his own fate by speaking in a manner which was out tiftach pe l'satan, in a sense that he opened up his mouth and what he said came true. Echad, the first one is bru lachem ish v'yared elai. So pick somebody to come down to me. As Rashi says over here, don't read it v'yared elai, but v'yared alai. It'll come down and be victorious over me or overcome me. So by saying v'yared elai, he's almost sealing his fate that whoever comes down will sink him. V'idach im yuchali lachem iti v'ikani. So then he says, it's actually a two-part statement. Im yuchali lachem iti, if he can battle against me, v'ikani, and he's successful at killing me, then you guys will be victorious. Now, the puzzle does continue, and he does give the other side of the puzzle, which is that if I kill him, then v'kitiv, then I will be the victor here. I'll be the one who triumphs over here. So even though he said the other side, he opened with the negative side, which is he opened with him losing and the other party winning. So that's what the Gemara says here again, that he tripped himself up because he basically sealed his fate that that was going to be the outcome, because that's what he said first. And then his last one is Vidach to Kamalei the David. When David approaches him, Hakelav Anochi Ketabai Lai B'Maklot, am I a dog that you come after me with your sticks? Meaning that David is a roeh. He's a shepherd. So you know what he comes out? He comes out with the weapons of a shepherd. What are the weapons of a shepherd? They are a slingshot and sticks. So that's what he comes to him. So that's what Goliath says to him. What am I, a dog? Because they use the dogs or the animals to round up the sheep. So that's a sheep dog. So now he says to him, basically, what am I, a sheep dog that you're coming out to hit me with the sticks? So again, he terms himself as a dog. And that's what ends up being, that the shepherd kills the dog. Then the Gemara says, Hadar Marle. So then it says that David HaMelech, Nami Amarle. Wait a minute, didn't David do the same thing? You come to me with the sword and the dagger and the spear, or the lance and the spear. And then he continues, afterwards the Gemara says, Hadar Marle, he continues that sentence and says, Vanochi Balecha B'Shem Hashem Tzvakot Elokei Marochot Yisrael. But I come to you with the word of Hashem, the leader of the multitudes of Israel, troops of Israel, Sher Cherachta, that you profaned or you cursed, blasphemed. So that will be your plight. Here the Gemara is questioning how you could say this about Goliath and not say about David, because David also presents in a manner that he says, yeah, well, you are coming here with the victories of mankind. So it's almost like David is also speaking the negative first. There the Gemara says, no, because he continues in the Pasuk and says, it's a contrast. You come with the Nitzchono Shel Adam, I come with the Nitzchono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exactly what's laid out in our Mishnah. And that's what happens, that David is victorious over Goliath, because it wasn't about size, It wasn't about who was more victorious until this point. It's who had Hashem on their side. Now they continue to darshan this story there. It says, Vayigasha plishti hashkem varev. He got up early in the morning and every evening. And Rabbi Yochanan kedei levatnam mikriyat shema shachrit varvit. He used to go out every day in the morning and the evening to make his speech in order to distract the troops or Bnei Yisrael from saying kriyat shema in shachrit varvit, meaning that he wanted to weaken them. As he weakened them, as the way Chazal say, the way to weaken the Jewish troops is to stop them from learning Torah, stop them from doing the mitzvot, to bevatel them from things that bring the Shekhinah to be present with them. He does this for 40 days. It's connected to 40 days in which the Torah was given. Rashi says, Shichra Torah litkabel, that it took 40 days before the Torah was accepted. Therefore, he was given a window of opportunity to stand neged Hashem because of those 40 days. Or, in essence, his ability to be there is because of a weakness in Torah of Bnei Israel. The fact that it took them that much time to get the Torah, or there was a delay in receiving the Torah. Once again, Chazal focusing on the Shekhinah and the battle being won by Hashem and not by the troops, and therefore the failure in some way, the weakness of the troops in Limud HaTorah leads to his ability to stand neged Hashem in this instance. So then this middleman walks out from Machanot Plishtim. Ma Beinayim. What does it mean that he was a middleman? Amarav Shemivuneh Mikol Mu. That he was built without any blemish. He was perfect. He was a huge gibor. Shmuel Amar Beinoni Shebe'achav. He was the middle one of his brethren. The Bei Rabbi Shila Amar Shu Asui Kibinyan, that he was built like a building. Rabbi Yochan Amar Bar Mea Papi V'chada Nani. So that he was a result of 100 papis and one nani. You could say that the meaning of this is Mea Papi means 100 papas, and Chanani is one mother. That could be the way it is expressed. Rashi brings a midrash similar to that, which is that he's a ben tarovet, shabau harbe anashim alimo, balayla. That his mother was raped by hundreds of soldiers, and only one of them is his father. And so that's what it means. Bar mea papi. It was 100 men that consorted with his mother, but chanani, there's only one real father here. Tosud, on the other hand, explains here that papi means like a father figure, a father. And Nani means a kelev, a dog. And therefore, Tosfot brings an alternate explanation to this and says that from the Oruch, that she slept with 100 men and one dog. And based on the Yerushalmi, the Tosfot also says he thinks that Rashi's interpretation is incorrect over here, which is that the Yerushalmi believes that she actually became pregnant from multiple men. Gemara over there says, well, once a woman's pregnant, she can't become pregnant again. So that's only when the Shikvat Zera has already spoiled. But if the Shikvat Zera is still intact, they can combine together, mix together, to fertilize and impregnate the woman. And therefore, Goliath really was a product of multiple fathers based on the Yerushalmi. No, the reason he was where the word Gat is because his mother was trampled like the wine press, stomped on like the wine press, means that either she consorted or was raped numerous times. Ketiv me'arot ukrinan marachot. When it says the word marachot, meaning that the lines of troops or the formations of the troops, instead of being written marachot, it's written chaser. So Tanu Rav Yosef Shakol Heru Bi'imo. So that comes to teach you that Me'arot was from the word He'era, that everyone had consorted with his mother. Tiv HaRafa Uktiv Orpa. It says in one place Orpa, and another place it calls her Harpa. Even though over here in Shmuel Bet, she's called HaRafa, and in Rut, she's called Orpa, the Chazal saw these names as being similar in nature, and therefore they connected between these two different names. Rav Shmuel Chadamar Harpa Shema, that her real name is Harpa, Valamani Krashma Orpa. So why was she nicknamed or called Harpa? She called Orfimota Miachara. That everyone sees the back of her neck. The way Rashi interprets that is, Hifkirat Smaki Behema. That she let herself become free like an animal to consort with many men. And the way that animals breed is with the face voicing the back of the neck of the other animal. Uchadamar, Orpashma, that her real name is Orpa. Falamikrashma Orpa. So why is the Torah name her Orpa? She called Dashimota Karifut. So that everybody stomps on her or crushes her like the crushing of the wheat kernels. Chenumer, Vatikacha Isha, Vatifrosa Masach al Pnei Aber, Vatishtach Alea Harifot. So then in Shmuel Bet, when the children of Tzadok and Abiatar remain in the city, when Avshalom takes over Ir David, Yerushalayim, then they are basically the spies that are going to be sent by David's plant in the palace of Avshalom. So Hushai, who is David's plant in the palace of Avshalom, sends a message to Tzadok and Abiatar about the plans and what David should do. And Tzadok and Abiatar send out their children, Yonatan and Achimatz. And so he sends them out then to run to David. The people in the city get wind of the fact that they're leaving, they chase them down. And when they come to a house of someone in Bachurim, so they get to a city, actually right next to Ir David, top of Har Zeitim, which is a city that was usually sympathetic to Bnei Shaul and not to David in general. Over there, they end up hiding the two Bnei Kohanim in order to allow the chasers to pass by and not see them. So what does she do? She puts them into the cistern, covers them over with a cloth, she puts the crushed wheat kernels on top of it. And then the chasers of Avshalom go back and say they can't find Achimatz and Yonatan, and they're able to reach David to give him news of what Avshalom's plans are. So here's the source for that word, Arifot. That's the meaning of the word in this context. If you crush or mill a fool in the machtesh, betoch harifot ba'eli, amongst the kernels of wheat with the pestle, that will not remove his foolishness. No matter how much you crush him or work him over, the fool will not have his foolishness removed from him. But again, the word harifot over here is being used to be crushed or milled over. Ve'et arba'at ele yuldula harpa begat. These four were born to Orpa and Gat. Ve'yiplu biyad David. They fell into the hands of David. U'biyad abadav and his servants. This is at the end of Shmuel Bet where it talks about all the battle successes of David. So over there it talks about the fact that her four children fell into his hands. So in describing the escapades of David and his Giborim, it says, Ve'yachrei kein, ve'yiti od milchama begov ima plishtim, az ikaz sibchai hachushati et saf asher bilidei harafa. Then it says, ve'yiti od milchama begat, ve'yish madon, ve'etzbaot yada, ve'etzbaot raglav shesh, v'shesh, esrim v'arba mispar, ve'gam hu yalad harafa. Ve'et Arba Dela Yuldula Harafa begat, Ve'yiplu biyad David, ubiyad abadav. So they have the mentioner of these four Giborim, Saf, Madon, Goliath, Ve'yishbi, who was mentioned in the Psukim beforehand, all these giants, the Plishtim were defeated by Bnei Israel. The Psukim testified to the fact that Arba Dela Yuldula Harafa begat, Ve'yiplu biyad David, ubiyad abadav. My Ninu, who are these that fell into his hands? Amrav Chista, that the names of her children are Saf, Madon, Goliath, Vishbi, Binov. Ve'yiplu biyad David, ubiyavadav, Tichtiv, Vatishak, Orpa, Dechomuta. This is talking about Ruth. And here the Gemara now connects between the Orpa of Megillat Ruth and the Harafa, that is found here, the mother of Goliath. And in connecting between the two of them says that Orpa of Megillat Ruth is the Orpa here. And it's a Midah connected Midah. Orpa leaves her mother-in-law after Naomi convinces her that she should go back to her people. She kisses her and leaves. Ruth davka ba, but Ruth sticks to her. Rav Yitzchak Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Bnei Anishuka Ve'yiplu Biyad Bnei Advuka, that the descendants of the one who kissed will fall into the hands of the one who stuck with Naomi. Ruth, who is the progenitor of the Davidic line, that her descendants will overcome or kill the descendants of Orpa, who are these four Giborim, including Goliath. And Goliath falls into the hands of David. And the Gemara sees that as being a Midah Keneged Midah for Orpa and Ruth's behavior. Orpah, who only kisses her mother-in-law and then leaves, so she's protected for a certain amount of time, but then she loses out to the one who was Davka, Ruth, who stuck with Naomi. Thresh Rabbah, Biskar Arba Dima'ot, Shorida, and the reward for these four tears that Orpah cried with her mother-in-law, Zachtavi Atz'umi Mena Arba'a Giborim. From her came out these four great warriors, Shemar Vatisena Kolam Vatifkena Od. Says there that they raised their voices and they cried again. So again means that they had cried once, and now they cried again. And when you cry out of both eyes. So you have four tears that come out over here. Generally, Midrashei Chazal, their approach to names in Tanakh is what they have, generally the conservation of name policy, which is that if the Tanakh uses a name multiple times, Midrashei Chazal will then deem all of these to be one person and a single person. It's clear that that's not the Pashtut, and it's very hard. Sometimes it seems they're doing it very literally. Other times they are making connections between ideas and saying that whether maybe it's not the same Orpah, or maybe it's not, but this idea that there were descendants of Orpah and descendants of Ruth, they were at one point sisters-in-law. So the best way to look at it is that even though in Pashtut the Pasuk it's clearly not the case, Chazal are trying to make a connection, and here they're trying to make a connection between these sisters-in-laws who made different decisions. And their different decisions lead to different outcomes. Not necessarily that the Orpah is the same Orpah over here. It's not saying that she's literally his mother, but rather she's the progenitor of the line that led to Goliath, and Ruth is the progenitor of the line that leads to David. And the result of the battle between David and Goliath was already predicted by their ancestors' behavior in this situation. So that's how you'd have to read it. Ktiv Chetz Chanito, Bikarinan Eitz Chanito. It's written that the weapon of Goliath is Chetz Chanito. That is Chanit, his spear, dagger, is Chetz, is like an arrow. Bikarinan, but we read it Eitz, that it's made out of wood. So I'm Rabbi Elazar, Adayin lo higanu lechatzi shivcho shel oto rasha. When they're talking about how strong Goliath is, the Navi didn't even get halfway through how great a warrior he was. Mikan, from here you learn, shasur lesaper shivchan shel rishayim. You're not allowed to compliment rishayim. So this does connect back to what we said before about flattery and chanifa, but the Navi doesn't want to compliment or to aggrandize the warrior Goliath. So Gemara says, if that's the case, lo lefatach beklau, then don't speak about him at all. Why do they give you chatzi shivcho? Answer is, lo diosh fached de David. Because it's a compliment to David, that David wasn't afraid to take on Goliath, despite the fact that he was a great warrior. David stands up to him, b'shem Hashem. And so we have to give you some sense of what David did. If the odds weren't stacked against David, then the action of David wouldn't have been so great. The fact that it's such an uneven battle is what makes David so great. So we give a little bit of praise to him to show you what type of warrior he was. Again, but we don't give the full praise because the Rishayim don't deserve that press time. The praising of the Rishayim, in some ways, both Chanifa, but also elevates, means that you put them up on a pedestal. So it's not about assessing who they are. It's not aggrandizing and making them into these great warriors. B'nei Amon, Bo Menitzkono Shel Shovach. So in the battle when David goes out to fight B'nei Amon, Aram comes to the aid of B'nei Amon. And over there it says, Vayishlach Hadar Ezer, V'yotzei et Aram Asher Me'ever Anar, V'yavo Chelam, V'shovach Tzar Tzva Hadar Ezer Lifneem. So the general of the army was this Shovach, the Tzar Tzva. On the other hand, at Divrei Hanamim, he's known as Shovach, the general of the army of Hadar Ezer from Aram, who is killed in this battle with Bnei Yisrael. Ktiv Shovach, Ktiv Shofach. His name is written differently. This general of the army of Hadar Ezer, over there, his name is written differently. Rav Shmuel Chadamar Shofach Shemo, Lama Nikra Shmo Shovach, Shasui Keshovach, because he was like a dove coat. Kind of a dove coat is very high up and wide, so maybe it's talking about he was a great warrior. Chadamar Shofach Shemo, Lama Nikra Shmo Shofach, Shekol Aroi Oto Nishpach Lefanav Ki Keiton. That anybody who saw him basically poured in front of him like a pitcher, or was scared, and therefore just like turned into water, and was unable to face him. Ashpato ki kever patuach, kulam giborim. It says that his quiver, his ashpato is ki kever patuach, it's like an open grave. Kulam giborim, they were all mighty men. Rabushmo, v'amri la rabbi ami v'rabbi asi, so again you have machloket amoraim. Chad amar b'shash zorkim chetz, osim ashpatot shel chalalim. They were such good archers that when they shot an arrow, they used to make piles and piles of corpses. V'shema tomar sh'umanim bikrav. And maybe you will think that the only reason they were doing this is because they were well-trained soldiers. Tamalomar kulam giborim. Not only were they well-trained soldiers, but they actually were mighty soldiers. They were inherently strong, big soldiers. V'chadamar b'shasho sim tzorcheyem osim ashpatot ashpatot shel zebel. They ate so much that when they had to relieve themselves, that they left behind piles and piles of feces because they were so big and strong. V'shemo tomar b'bnei shecholi me'ayim heim. You think maybe that's because they had a stomach ache or there was something wrong. Talmud Omar, kulam giborim. No, the reason that this is happening is not because they have a stomach ache, because rather they're huge, big giborim, and therefore they leave a huge mess behind them. Amar Rav Mari, shma mino. From this you conclude, Haiman de nofish zivlei, someone who has a lot of excrement come out of him, cholim ayimu, he should know that he has some sort of stomach ailment or there's something wrong with his stomach or intestines. So why does that matter? Litrach b'nafshei, to work on his spirit, because da'aga b'leiv ish yashchena, that worry in the heart of a person will basically sink him to stoop over, which is indicative of some sort of stomach ailment. Rabbi Ami Rabasi, chanamar isachena midato, he should remove it from his mind. V'chanamar isachena lecherim, he should speak to others. Or basically, you should get therapy. What's the therapy? If you are a worrier, what is the therapy to remove this worry from you? Either you have to actively remove it from your head, you have to take steps to remove these thoughts of fear from your head, or the other one is, you have to go speak to the therapist, you have to speak to others about it to unload this burden that you're carrying around. The Gemara sees a connection between the fear and the Choli Me'ayim. This person who walks around with these worries and these fears, that's what causes him to have this stomach ailment. So now that he knows by the evidence of his excrement that he has this choli me'ayim, the cure to that problem is to deal with his worries or his fears, so that will remove his stomach ailment. And how does he do that? Which is isachena, which is either to remove it from his mind or to speak to others to get therapy for the matter. Okay, we'll stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Membet Amud Bet.